We're still in our series called Running Well and Finishing Strong. And we've been focusing on the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12. And let's take a moment and read those this morning as we move into the next part of this section. Hebrews 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or patience the race marked out for us." Now here's where we're going to pick up today. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm going to do a real quick recap on where we've been in these verses so far. The first thing that we looked at from that first phrase in verse 1 is that you and I have a great heritage to carry on. Remember, we talked about that word therefore and how it points back to all the saints who've gone before in Hebrews 11 who have endured all the things that they had to endure in order to remain faithful to Christ. The torch has been passed to us, so to speak, and we have a great heritage to carry on. And one day, folks, we're going to have an opportunity to pass that on to those who are coming after us. That's why it's so important for us to run well and finish strong. Secondly, we talked about how we must lay aside everything that can hinder us from running this race well. You've never seen a runner run while carrying a bunch of heavy objects. They lay everything aside in order to be free to run the race without any hindrance or encumbrance at all. And we talked about the importance of setting aside anything in our life that will hinder us on this journey for Christ. Next, we talked about how we must be able to go the distance because this is not a 50-yard dash. It's a long, long marathon. And we must pace ourselves. It's not enough to start well. It's not enough to start with a big flash and a big noise for Christ. It's critical that we're able to go the distance in order to finish well. And last week we looked at how important it is that we run the course that is set before us, that we run the race that has been laid before us, that we find out what it is God wants us to do with our lives in order to make sure that we're running where He wants us to run. But there's something else here that we must consider, and we'll get to this today. And that is, fifthly, that we must run with the right goal in mind. The beginning of verse 2 says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus." The point here is that we must make sure that there is no one or no thing in our lives that has become our goal and our focus for living other than Jesus himself. We must look only unto Jesus. I like the way Colossians 3 verse 1 says it. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Jesus himself, in Matthew 6, reminded us that we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added to us as well. Does that mean that we can't enjoy other things in life? Does it mean that we can't have other goals in life? No, it just means that our supreme goal in life, our ultimate purpose for waking up every day and living, must be Jesus Christ himself. We must be focused upon him. He must be the prize that we run towards at the end of the race. If anything else other than Christ is our goal, we will veer off course. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Because you see, where you're focused is where you'll go. You need to remember that. Where you're focused is where you'll go. And where you go is where you'll end up. Are you sure that you're running towards a goal that you want to run towards? I remember seeing this illustrated many years ago. I was playing on a church softball team, and I arrived to the game really early one night. I just came straight from work, and so I was just kind of hanging out, watching them get things ready. And the guy came out with that little machine that paints the lines around the bases. And he loaded the stuff into it, and he started out at home plate, and he looked down towards first base, and he began walking and pushing that machine along and just laying a perfectly straight white line. And as he was headed towards first, I remember a car pulled into the parking lot to my right, which was just right off the field there, and some guys got out who knew him, and they yelled to him, "Hey," whatever his name was, and they waved, and he was walking along, and he went like this, "Hey." And when he looked back down, he had veered off to the right, and his line had gone crooked about 2 feet, and he had to back the thing up and take his shoe and kick some dirt over that crooked white line and repaint it. What happened? He got his eyes off the goal where he was headed, and where you're focused is where you'll go. If you're off course this morning, if you feel like you're off course in any area of your life, I want to tell you, it's not because Jesus moved. It's because you got your eyes off of him, and you're now pursuing other things. Why is it so important for us to keep our eyes on Jesus? Man, I tell you, there are an awful lot of answers to that question. It's important for a number of reasons. First of all, if you and I get our eyes on things, we're going to be enticed by those things, and we're going to be pulled away from the race that we're supposed to be running. If we get our eyes on other people, I've told you how dangerous that can be. The Bible says comparing yourselves amongst yourselves is not wise. Why? Because if you compare yourself to somebody else, there's really only one of two results that can occur, and both of them are bad. Either you're going to walk away feeling really proud because you think you're better than that person, or you're going to walk away feeling really discouraged because you feel like you're not as good as that person. There's no benefit that can come by keeping your eyes on other people. There's no benefit that can come by looking inward to ourselves. No matter what the gurus may say on television, you will not find any answers to life within yourself, friends. They're not there. It's critical that we keep our eyes on Jesus. The next phrase in Hebrews 2 tells us why. It says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus because he is the author and perfecter of our faith. It means completer, finisher of our faith. See, Jesus wrote the book on faith. He's the author of faith. He's not only how we started the race, he is the one who will help us endure the Christian race, and he is the one who will help us finish the Christian race. Philippians 1:6 says it very well. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's the one who will give us the strength that we need to run this race well and to finish strong, not ourselves. It's like going to a college and taking a very difficult course, maybe something like chemistry, which can be kind of tough. And the textbook that you're studying out of happens to have been written by a professor who resides there on campus. And this professor has made it known across the college that if anybody has any questions about this book, his door is open. You can come to him anytime and ask him questions, and he'll be more than glad to help you. Well, if you were struggling in that course, would you go to your roommate for answers if you knew that the man who wrote the book was just down the hall? Surely not. You'd go to him. He wrote every word in the book. No one knows it as well as him. And you could walk into his office and ask him any question about the book, and he could give you whatever answers you need. Folks, we must understand it's critical that we keep our eyes on Jesus because he's the author of faith. He wrote the book. He has every answer that we need in life. Whatever problem you're facing today, he's the one who has the answer if we'll keep our eyes on him. It goes on there in verse 2 to say, not only let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, but it says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Have you ever noticed that people are willing to endure almost any amount of pain or humiliation if there's a big enough prize waiting for them at the end? Television producers picked up on that years ago when they started that ridiculous show called Fear Factor. I could never watch an entire episode. It made me ill to watch that. Anybody see that show? These people would do the most indescribable things, eating stuff you wouldn't even want to talk about in here, being buried alive by scorpions. I mean, just facing their greatest fears in life. Why? So they could win a handful of cash at the end. They were willing to do anything for that prize at the end. I realized this when I was 12 years old. I was in South Africa, and a friend of mine, their whole family was athletic. They were into everything. He and I played soccer together on a couple of teams. But they were into running and cricket and rugby and everything else, water skiing and all of that. And there was a 5K run, cross-country run, that was being held. And I was not a runner at all, not a long-distance runner at all. But Alan was trying to talk me into running this thing with him. And I said, Alan, there's no reason for me to run. It's ridiculous. I haven't trained for it. You know, it's coming up in a couple of days. It doesn't make any sense. He said, come on and run with me. He said, and I forget her name, there was some little girl that I happened to think was cute who was going to be working at the finish line handing out water and things to the runners as they came in. I said, really? This is 5K, you say? I think I can do that. I mean, what a better opportunity then for me to run across the finish line smiling and get my cup of water and say, hi, I'm Phil, I've wanted to meet you. And so I had these great dreams in my head of how this was going to play out. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, let me just tell you, you don't want to enter a 5K anything if you haven't trained for it. I mean, it was disastrous. I did make it across the finish line somehow. About halfway through the race, my lungs were on fire. My head was pounding. I really thought I was going to die. But I had the picture of this girl in my mind waiting at the finish line with a smile. And it didn't work out that way at all. I kind of crawled across the finish line with EMS, you know, running after me, trying to give me life support. It was just a really ugly thing. It never worked out with the girl. She wasn't impressed at all. So, and all of that agony that I endured, and I don't even remember her name, you know, it's just one of those horrible, painful memories in life. But that's proof that we are willing to endure anything if we feel that the prize is worth the pain. Athletes who are determined to win a gold medal, on days like today when their friends are sleeping in, everything within them will be saying, hey, man, just pull the covers up. One day is not going to hurt. Just sleep in for one day. They'll say, nope, I'm going for the gold. They'll kick those covers off. They'll head outside in freezing cold temperatures, in boiling heat, whatever it takes to train their body in order to win a gold medal. They're willing to endure anything because the prize is worth it to them. I wonder what you and I are willing to endure for the sake of Christ. I think of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world who this very morning are suffering persecution for being Christians. And we get bumped off track so easily here in the States for the most part, don't we, folks? We just really do. The slightest little thing knocks us off course and we want to give up and, well, it's just not worth it. I'm not going back to church anymore. It's not worth it. And we've got brothers and sisters in Christ whose lives are on the line on a daily basis just for the name of Jesus Christ. And they're not giving up. Jesus was willing, this verse tells us in Hebrews 12, 2, to endure the horror of the cross because the goal that he had in mind was your salvation. I wrote this down this week as I was thinking about this message. When Jesus was running the course to the cross, you were his goal. Now that you're running your course, he should be your goal. Where would we be today, folks, if Jesus had decided that it was too tough a race? That it was too much of a price to pay to finish at the cross? Where would we be? We'd be lost without him, completely lost. All the hardships that he endured them for your salvation, friend. Every one of them. Someone wrote a song years ago, there was a line in it that said, when he was on the cross, you were on his mind. What a thought that he endured all that he endured in order to bring you life and salvation. He knew that whatever he went through, whatever he endured, it would be worth it for the joy that it would bring you in being able to have a relationship with his Father. And I want to tell you, whatever we endure in this life for Christ will be worth it to one day hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but I long to hear those words, well done. I love what the chapter before Hebrews 12 says about Moses. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. Hebrews 11, 24, it says, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Man, I love that phrase. He saw him who is invisible. Friends, this doesn't make any sense to the world. It just doesn't make any sense to the world. I remember the Russian cosmonauts, when they first went up into space, they came back and proudly reported, we have been to space and we saw no sign of God, therefore he doesn't exist. You see, Moses was willing to endure the suffering with the people of God because he knew that he was running towards him who is invisible. He had his eyes on the right goal. There is one thing you need to understand, though. Making Jesus your goal means that there will be other things that cannot be your goal. That's easy to say in a place like this, but is it easy to live out in our lives? You see, you can only have one ultimate goal in life. And if Jesus is your ultimate goal, then by simple default, it means that everything else cannot be your ultimate goal. I wonder if there's anything in your life, anything at all, that has become your goal instead of Jesus. Is there anything else that has gotten your eyes off of Him and you're now pursuing rather than pursuing Him? Jesus ran the race that was set before Him with determination, with endurance, with purpose, because He knew that the joy that awaited Him at the end of that was worth it all. And when He neared the end of His life in John 17:4, He was able to say these amazing words, "Father, I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You sent Me to do." I wonder if you'll be able to say that in the end. When you and I reach the end of our race, will we be able to say, "Father, I have brought You glory by completing the work You sent me to do, by running the race that You marked out for me. I finished it." I want to ask you in conclusion this morning, toward what goal are you running? What is it that drives you in life? What is it that draws you like a magnet every day? Toward what goal are you running? There may be someone here this morning, you know the truth. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home and you know everything that we're talking about this morning. You could say it better than I could. But somewhere along the way, you changed goals. And this morning, even as you sit here and listen to my voice, you know in your heart that you are running towards the wrong goal. And you're doing it willfully, you're doing it deliberately. And frankly, you don't care. You're running towards the wrong goal. Friend, I want to tell you something. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I wonder if anybody here has traded in the goal of Jesus for the goal of something in this life. And that's now what you're running towards. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. You're a day or two away from making a disastrous decision in your life. Maybe there have been things you've been secretly harboring in your mind that nobody else knows about. And you're about this close to making a decision that is going to wreck your life. Listen to me this morning. There is no other goal in life worth pursuing other than Jesus Christ Himself. God is calling to you this morning, asking you to get your eyes back on Him as the goal. I wonder if you're listening. Maybe others here who are not deliberately running towards any wrong goal. You're just running aimlessly. You have no goal. You have no purpose. There's no real reason for getting up tomorrow morning. I remember that scene from the movie Forrest Gump. It's kind of bizarre, but he just got up one day and said, "I believe I'll go for a run." And he just went out and just started running. And he got to the end of the street and he ran to the end of the block. He got to the end of the block and he ran to the end of town. He got to the end of the town, he ran to the end of the county. He got to the end of the county, he ran to the end of the state. And he just kept on running. He ran to one ocean and turned around and started running towards the other ocean. Just running. And you remember there was one scene in the movie where they showed this shot of a long road down through the desert. And he was running towards the camera, and by now he had this long beard. And there was this group of people behind him who had, you know, the news media had picked up on this and they were following the story. He had run for like 3 years or something. And all these people were following him because they thought, you know, he must be on some spiritual quest, man. Something deep is going on here. I want to be a part of this, right? And so he's running and running, and All of a sudden, he just stops. Remember that? And he turned around, and one of the guys said, "Shh, quiet, quiet, he's going to say something." And they're all listening. And Forrest says, "I'm pretty tired. I believe I'll go home now." And that was it. And the looks on the faces of those people was priceless. It's like, what? That's it? I mean, we were waiting for some great enlightenment, you know? That's it? You were just running? There was no purpose to any of this? And he just went home. You know, I meet people in life sometimes who are like Forrest Gump. They're just running through life, running aimlessly from one day to the next with no goal, with no purpose, nothing to run for, no end in sight. You say, well, how do I know what God wants me to do? Well, we talked a little bit about that last week. But listen, let me encourage you in something very simple and practical. If you mean business with God, and you really do want your life to count for Christ, but right now you have no idea of any direction He wants you to go in, start doing something for Him. Start serving Him somewhere. I don't care what it is. Start helping with the nursery. Start helping with the preschool. You go, "I'm scared to death." Join the club. I was too when I first did it. Start helping to carry the signs in and out of this place on weekends. Start somewhere. Get busy doing something for God. God will reveal His will to you as you are faithful to Him day by day, doing small things. Someone once said, "Have you ever noticed how hard it is to steer a parked car?" It's very true. It's almost impossible to turn the steering wheel on a car that is parked. But once you get that car moving, you can steer it with one finger. It's the same way in the Christian life. So many people just sit around and sit around and sit around and just say, "I just don't know what God wants me to do." Well, do something for Him. Take a risk. Take a step of faith. Do something for Him. Go help with a local mission project. Do something. Give your life to Him in some way, and He will begin day by day to reveal to you what He wants you to do with your life. God will come to you in your moments of faithfulness, not your moments of laziness. I remember years ago, when I was at this point in my life and I was running my business and I was just so confused about what God wanted me to do, I had met Sandy and we had been dating a while, and I was up at a client's site in North Carolina, and I was working there one day in this big computer room, and the phone rang, and I picked it up and I said, "Hello," and she didn't say hello. There was no courtesy, anything. She said these words to me, "What are you doing in the computer business?" And I said, "Excuse me?" She said, "What are you doing in the computer business?" I said, "What are you talking about?" Little did I know that my parents had given her some old preaching tapes of mine, which I had prayed were burned long ago, and she had listened to them, and she called me to say, "Phil, what are you doing pursuing this goal in your life? It's so clear to me that God is calling you to something else. Why are you doing this?" It was a pivotal moment in my life. I look back on it now as one of the key moments in my life. Listen, folks, God can use a myriad of things to direct you along the right path. The question is, are you doing anything for Him? You see, after that point, I didn't really know what to do next, and so I just said, "Well, I'll just help wherever I need to be, wherever help needs to take place in the church." And I started helping with a little kid's Sunday school class. I was scared out of my wits, but I began there. And then God came to me in that faithfulness and said, "Hey, I've got something else for you to do. Would you like to do it?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I would." And I went on to that next thing. And I was faithful there. And God met me there and said, I've got something else for you to do, a little bigger, a little more responsibility. Would you like it? I said, yes, sir, I would. And I was faithful there. And I look back on my life. It wasn't one huge thing. It was little moments of faithfulness that led along the right path. Are you being faithful in some small area to love and serve your Savior today? I want to ask you this morning as we close, as you run the Christian life, are you keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus as your goal? Or are your eyes leading you astray to chase this thing and to chase that thing, and you're not really getting anywhere for Him? Are you running with purpose because of the joy that awaits at the finish line? And are you willing to endure whatever comes as Christ endured for you? Let's pray. Father, I thank You that Your Son did not shrink from the race that was set before Him, that He endured the shame, the mocking, the pain, the embarrassment, all that He went through, He endured because of the joy that was set before Him. Father, I pray for this body of believers this morning. Perhaps there's someone here who is running the race, and Lord, they have just gotten their eyes completely off of You. And I pray that today they would refocus and they would make You their goal once again. I pray, Lord, if there are those who are running aimlessly with no real purpose, that they would find something they can do to show their faithfulness to You, and You would lead them from that point on. Lord, we count it a privilege to be in Your service. We count it a privilege to be Your children and to have You as our goal. And I pray that we as individuals and we as a church would run with purpose in every step toward the goal, who is Jesus. We ask in His name. Amen.